It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Cuts in on the right foot, launches a golazo!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer, and brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9. The game. Here's Jason Longshore.
What is going on, Atlanta? I believe this is supposed to start with Les. Kick it, yes. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. You got me, Anoa Wright, running a little bit of point here with Jason in Nashville, getting ready for Atlanta United. You know, we have a lot of moving parts going on right now. FIFA ending, MLS starting. Jason, how are things?
Yeah, it's chaotic at the moment. I mean, it has been two semifinals, and one of them I was a mess yesterday.
Oh, that I'm sure.
We'll talk about it. I talked about it for 3 hours last night. There's plenty more to talk about from the Argentina-England match. Our boy, Dictator Mbappe, is out of the running.
He
does have a third-place game to play. Yeah, we got to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we do. We got to get into it.
Then we're straight back into Atlanta United. I mean, my last, I guess, 36 hours, let's say. I can't do math anymore. I'm past it at this point of the tournament. Has been crazy. I mean, we got into downtown early yesterday. We went and saw the Argentine fans gathering at Underground Atlanta and got pictures, got video. And then followed their march out of Underground to MLK and up towards the stadium. And amazing, like the songs, the chants, the drums, the first responders on the side joining in, like just amazing stuff.
Yeah, the first responders looked like they had a ball.
They had a blast. Like we look over and they're on top of the fire truck having a blast. Then after the game, I think most of them became Argentine, which was amazing. They were getting hats. They were getting jerseys. Like, the Argentines were just welcoming everybody. The game itself was really two completely different games all in one, and I've never been in an environment like that before. It was unbelievable. And then did 3 hours of Atlanta Soccer Tonight last night at Skull Brewing, which was very cool. First time I'd been to Skull Brewing. Loved the spot in downtown Atlanta. And then I was up early at Atlanta United training today, hopped on a plane. I'm in Nashville now, and we're calling a game tomorrow.
Yeah, man, a lot of moving parts. But, you know, we got a lot of balls in the air, and we handle them all. You have been all over the place. I've been mostly experiencing it from my couch, but I have had a ball, and I know you've had too, and I've just been excited just knowing that you've been in the building, in the place, getting to see some of this greatness going on. And for me, I'm getting indoctrinated into why things are the way they are and why people love it as much as they do, and probably one of the best World Cups ever played. I feel lucky.
I think this is the best World Cup of all time. I don't think there's anything that can happen over the weekend that would change that for me. If it was close, then sure. The final, I mean, who knows? With what we've seen from Argentina in these knockout games, like the final, I have no idea. I will put up my hand and remind everybody that if you've been listening to Atlanta Soccer Tonight throughout this run, that we have not missed a show since I stole an hour from the ATL show on May 31st. That got us to 50.
Yeah.
So, like, that got us to 50 days of it. Tomorrow is a little bit of a hybrid because, you know, we're calling a game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be in Atlanta Soccer Tonight. But we are calling a match here in Nashville tomorrow. But if you remember back before the tournament started, and I reiterated this about 2 hours before kickoff of the first match, I predicted that the final would be Spain and Argentina. And a lot of people thought I was crazy because I didn't have France in it. And just saying, you've been listening. Now, I will remind everybody, too, I did pick Spain, which, as you know, was not easy for me to do, and it was painful.
It was.
But that was the pick that I made, and I would still pick that right now because, one, I think they have the extra day of rest is going to be huge for them on Sunday. Two, I think they've had an easier route to get here. So beyond the extra day of rest, they've had less stress in the knockout rounds. They did have to have two late winners from Mikel Merino. That is true. But their stress has felt different than Argentina's stress. Argentina's stress is a whole nother level of stress. The fact that we saw the Egypt comeback, which was the greatest comeback of all time in a World Cup, two goals down with 12 to go in regulation, and you win 3-2 and you don't need extra time. That's insanity. You will rarely see that anywhere in the world. And then to have the semifinal yesterday where it's the 86th minute and you're down 1-0 and you come back and win that and you don't need extra time to do it.
Enzo.
Insanity.
Enzo came through with the goal.
Enzo is such a cool story, and I was reminded of it today when it popped up because my algorithm is like fully Argentine at this point on every social media platform. It's kind of insane. But Enzo, and this is a story I haven't told you before, and I don't know if I've talked about it here on the station before. So Lionel Messi had a horrible, awful, like for him personally, run with the national team from 2014 through 2016, where he's in his prime, but the team wasn't around him. And he dragged them to the World Cup final in 2014. They lost in extra time to Germany, 1-0. And that team probably didn't have any business getting to the final, and Messi was the player of the tournament. 2015, Copa America, he gets them to the final of the South American Championship. They lose on penalties to Chile. So, you know, a coin flip at that point. 2016, you had the Copa America Centenario here in the U.S., so it was an expanded South American Championship with the U.S. and five other CONCACAF teams in it. You get back to the final again. So 3 years, three finals, and they lost on penalties in that one. And he missed his penalty in that one. And after that, like, he gave a very emotional interview, and he said, I can't get it done for this team. I'm retiring from the national team in 2016. And Enzo Fernandez was 15 years old in River Plate's academy by that point. And Enzo wrote a letter as a 15-year-old, and on his Facebook at that time in 2015 or 2016. And he talked about how, you know, no, you didn't let anybody down. Everybody let you down because people have been too hard on you. People have not treated you fairly. And as a 15-year-old to do that, and he begged him to come back to the national team. And he just talked about how, you know, any soccer that Messi gave the people was an amazing gift. Like, it's a really cool letter to read now. And I can't even imagine for somebody like Enzo to do that and then become his teammate and then win the Egypt match with a header and score the equalizer against England yesterday. Just what a life that Enzo Fernandez has had at this point.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because, you know, I can do a little reminding too, Jason. If you remember, before all of this started and I was trying to, you know, get into World Cup form, I picked your boy number 19 over there in Spain. And I was like, oh, he's the hot new thing. That's what I'm watching. That's what I want to see. I want to see Lamine Yamal. That's what I want to see. Well, Jason, you know, I just think that when you have a feel for sports, even when you're just jumping in, if you can kind of, you know, figure out just a little bit of what's going on, you can maybe get, you know, into the atmosphere of things. And Enzo was also one of those guys for me. So I'm seeing, you know, two of my picks from way out of my novice world. And now I'm seeing how it's playing out on the field, you know, and I'm just, you know, I'm feeling a little bit like Greg here. Like I'm starting to get my footing here, and I'm just, you know, taking a little victory lap right now. Just a little.
Picking Ento is a cool one for me because I've watched the Argentine League a good bit over the years, and Enzo, before the 2022 World Cup, when he was really starting to break in, he went on loan to a smaller club, Defensa y Justicia, and that's where I saw him first. And I'm like, I love this kid's game. Like, he's scrappy. He looks like he would fight you for his team to win, and he probably would. And, like, he plays with that kind of personality. Like, sitting here, I've never thought about this, but this is what I love when we get intersection and AST crossovers. He reminds me of a soccer version of Allen Iverson.
Ooh. Yeah, I can see that. I like that.
He's got that, like, he's got a swagger to him, but it's a swagger, like, don't mess with me.
Yeah, a little edge. Swagger. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Enzo and Allen Iverson. That's my comparison of the night.
No, I like it. I like it. I was watching one match, and I was going to ask you, I was like, what do they call a nutmeg in soccer? And then they immediately called it. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. I can keep my basketball terminology. And I believe it was Enzo that calls the nutmeg. And I was like, what do they call that in soccer anyway? But yeah.
Messi yesterday, did you see the sequence? And it feels like this guy, I mean, I want to talk about it with you definitely. And it might be something that we get into after the World Cup. But Messi, I feel like we run out of things to say. And I don't want to minimize what we're seeing from him, but he had a moment yesterday in the first half. And that first half was the epitome of a street fight. It was two teams who did not like each other and were making it clear to each other that I don't like you and I'm going to try to bully you. And neither one got bullied. And it was fascinating to watch the head games that were going on.
Yeah,
but Messi had a moment where he gets the ball and he turns inside, and Harry Kane, who's a big dude, comes for him and bounces off of Lionel Messi. And then he nutmegs in the turn, Anthony Gordon. And then it took Jed Spence and Elliot Anderson, like, chopping Messi down like he was a tree. But Harry Kane is a lot bigger than Lionel Messi and was full speed into him and just bounced off of him.
I mean, you know, when you got that greatness and you have that confidence, because a lot of it is just the confidence to do what it is that Messi and frankly, a lot of the Argentina team in general does. I mean, the way Lautaro went for that last goal to really, really seal it and take it away. And the way England tried to just park the bus was also crazy. Mm-hmm. That was like, it was like watching 40 minutes of prevent defense.
Yeah. And I had this conversation a lot last night, and I stand by it. And it's been funny to watch some of the pundits start to come around on this. Everybody immediately yelled at the coach and blamed everything on the coach. If you go back and watch that game before the hydration break, after the England goal, so about 15 minutes of time, maybe a little bit less, the players immediately dropped off. You could tell the players immediately were scared. Isn't the right word. I think that can be loaded in the situation. They were immediately concerned about holding the lead rather than going and killing the game, which is what they did in Mexico. Remember, they got that second goal really quick, and they always had a cushion. That's different, because if you got a cushion and you sit back and defend, you give up one, it's not the end of the world. But the way that they approached it, they went and they sat back so deep and they let Argentina find that space. And when you let Argentina find that space, that means Lionel Messi's going to find that space. And he drifted out wide to the right, and he had two assists, putting him to 12 in his World Cup career, the most ever, and carried them back into that game. And now they're going on to another final.
Yeah, and one of the things I saw in both games, even when France lost, was the ability of the great teams to be able to get themselves in position to strike, even if they don't score. Like, the way that at the end of that game, France was able to continue to be in position to at least try to score, that's what you saw at Argentina yesterday, but they got the goals.
Yeah, it's just so impressive what we saw from them to drag themselves back after an even bigger comeback earlier in the knockout rounds. It's a wild ride. It's Argentina and Spain on Sunday. We'll be in South Downtown all day and come watch the game at Founders Green with Abe Gordon from 2 to 6 and then AST from 6 to 9. Closing out the tournament, we'll wrap it all up from Brewhouse Cafe, South Downtown. But coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, I was able to catch up with Atlanta United and U.S. Youth National Team midfielder Cooper Sanchez. You'll hear from Cooper about what he thought about this World Cup and what he thinks about Atlanta United getting back on the action tomorrow here in Nashville, Music City. More Atlanta Soccer Tonight coming up after this on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Getting ready for the return to MLS play for Atlanta United after a very busy summer away from the MLS pitch. And one player that we're going to talk to now has had a very busy summer on a lot of different fronts. Atlanta United midfielder Cooper Sanchez. Cooper, thanks for taking the time for me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Happy to
be here. I want to talk to you a little bit about just how the summer as a whole has gone for you. We caught up at national team camp. You had a very strong camp with the U.S. U19s. What did you take away from that experience with the group?
Yeah, it was my first time with the 07s now in a camp. So playing a year up. For the first time, obviously, I've played against a lot of them from the academy days because I always played with the 2007s. So getting to see some of them and actually get to play with them now was a great experience. And the facility and out in Fayetteville made it even better. I mean, it's like everything you could ask for. Every resource is available there, top class facility. So no, it was a fun camp, and getting to play against, you know, a team like Japan as well, for them to come to Georgia was a great experience as well. And we got to eat, you know, lunch with them after and connect and bond with, you know, different countries and stuff like that. So
that was a really fun match. I mean, Japanese football is so fascinating to me in the way that they play. And it seems like the way that you play and in our conversations, the way you see the game, you would bond on the field with Japanese players pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. I'd say they're very technical, very smart players. They, you know when to move. They're always, you know, looking at each other, kind of in like correspondent. Like even our coach Gonzalo was saying, it's like almost like a ballerina set. Like they're always looking at each other, moving off of each other. And yeah, they're very, very smart and technical players. And I've played against them, I think, 3 times now. And it's been the kind of the same play style every time. They want to have the ball, they want to play, and you know, they're not afraid to do that. So yeah, I would agree. I think I would bond with them.
We've had this conversation about Atlanta United, and I think it's something that I've talked about a lot this summer with the U.S. men's national team and a play style and a consistent style of play and something that you can replicate. Do you feel like with what you're seeing in national team camps and what you saw from the senior team in the World Cup that the U.S. is getting closer to that kind of play style that is consistent across all levels?
Yeah, I would say definitely since Pochettino took over, there's been kind of a change in, you know, every from, you know, the men's team down to, you know, our teams in terms of, you know, always wanting to have the ball, wanting to, you know, be on the front foot, like be the protagonist. And then without the ball, like being relentless, like always pressing, always wanting to get the ball back, things like that. And I think it's trickled down to, you know, us, and you can see it in the way we played against Japan and as well as the men's team during the World Cup.
It's funny for you too. This energy has to be really nice in that these are a lot of the same things that Tata Martino wants you to do with Atlanta United.
Exactly. Yeah, I would say training after the national team camp and going into, you know, this game coming up against Nashville, there's been, you know, a little bit of, you know, change in how we want to build and stuff like that. So, and I would say it's more similar to how, what I was doing, with the national team. So that makes my job, you know, even easier now, that I get to do it with, you know, both teams.
It was fascinating watching and calling the Kansas City game and seeing how the spaces were opening up with Manu out on the right, with Alexi playing the nine, the way he interprets it. You and Jay had a lot of space and a lot of opportunity to be protagonists in that game. How did it feel getting back on the field with the group against Kansas City?
No, it was great. Honestly, it was kind of like a reset time. I think it was good for all of us, and you know, to get back on the field and do it against, you know, SKC was a good warm up for, you know, this weekend. So no, it was good. Yeah.
We've talked about kind of what this year has been like for you, being coming in, hoping to get a few games with the first team and not knowing what your role was going to be. And now you're ever present with the first team. You're in national team camps. Has this summer kind of been an opportunity for you to reset a little bit of your goals for what the rest of this year and beyond looks like for you?
Yeah. Like you said, it kind of all happened so fast, the first part of the season. So I think over the break, I really got to, you know, sit down and think about, you know, what do I want for the rest of this season as far as, you know, personal goals and as well as what the team needs from me, and what, you know, the team's goals are as well, going into the second half of the season. I think it was a great reset time, and to, you know, sit down with myself and actually think about that stuff to, you know, kind of slow it down because everything happened so fast during the first part of the season. So yeah, it was good.
When you do that, are you somebody who sets like really specific goals? Do you kind of have broader goals? Do you have somebody that you sit down and do that with? What is your process like for that?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of both. You know, you want to have some target, like actually measurable goals, as well as, you know, what you want as well. And I think my oldest brother is a coach in New Mexico United, helps me a lot with that stuff. He believes a lot in, you know, setting goals and sitting down every day with yourself. And are you doing, you know, what you need to be doing? Are you working your hardest every day on the field? Like, I would say he's my biggest help in terms of, you know, setting goals and things like that.
A couple of new additions announced this week for Atlanta United on the back line, Junior Alonso, Paulo Diaz. It's really early days, but how is everything coming together as the team gets ready for Nashville?
Yeah, I would say they fit right into the group. It was a, you know, easy thing for them. They're both outgoing and funny. Paulo specifically, he's a character. So he's already playing ping pong in the locker room with all the guys. So no, it's to have, you know, two new players, obviously it's going to change the group in terms of dynamics and stuff like that. But I think it's a good thing, and they're integrating well.
It's interesting you bring that up, because that's something that I think young players don't always, maybe they're not thinking about, is group dynamics and how anytime somebody comes or goes in a team, the personality of the team changes. How have you seen so far with two new guys coming in and some guys like Saba who have moved on to RSL? How have you seen the group dynamic change? Like, what is the personality of the group now?
Yeah, I would just say it brings in fresh energy, because obviously it's been a rough first part of the season for us. So I think it just brings in new energy and new hunger and that we can feed off of now from them as well. So yeah, I think that's how it changes it the most.
Somebody like Junior coming in after World Cup experience with Paraguay, Miguel coming back from the Paraguayan national team. You know, I know you've had a chance to watch a lot of the World Cup. You're a junkie like I am with watching all this stuff. What have been your big takeaways from the summer?
Ooh, I mean, I would say it's been a, you know, it's been great to see that it's on, you know, home soil and see how busy, you know, Atlanta is when there's games and things like that. And how all the fans from, you know, Norway with the, you know, the celebrations they do, the English fans as well. I mean, even the Argentinian fans, like getting to see that and, you know, in the Benz as well, having it packed out like that has been, you know, really, really fun to watch. You know, and it kind of gives me, you know, goosebumps of, you know, what I made a goal for myself, you know, wanting to play in a World Cup for the men's team one day. So getting to see that on home soil has, you know, been fun over the summer.
I'm imagining that you're probably a little bit like me when you watch stuff like this, that, you know, what I do, I'm listening to other commentators. I'm hearing how they do things. I'm like, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. I could work on that. I could be that. Do you watch other midfielders in your role from around the world and see how they do different things and try to add to your game?
Yeah, definitely. I think every game there's top midfielders in the world playing. So that's the beauty of the World Cup, is that every midfielder on the field is, you know, a top level player. And getting guys like to watch Vitinha and John Neves and Pedri and Frankie de Jong and all these guys is, I mean, I can only learn from them and add that to my game.
Was there anything about this World Cup that has surprised you? Anything that you didn't expect coming in?
Ooh. I would say probably the closeness of games, like between, I would say, the bigger countries and the smaller countries, like the Argentina Copa Verde game was, you know, a big one. Yeah, I would just say the level of, you know, small countries this World Cup has been phenomenal. I think it's only going to get better. And I think they were talking about expanding, you know, the World Cup even more now. So I think the level will only get higher.
And there's so much buzz coming off of the World Cup for getting back into MLS. You're going to see more signings than what we've seen here in Atlanta. You're going to see signings all around the league. Just having the chance to see this World Cup and experience it. And I think the word that I've used a lot is to feel it. Like, I think this has been different for me in terms of, I've watched World Cups my whole life, but feeling this one is different. What do you think that does for Major League Soccer on the whole with the league coming back to play this weekend?
I think it only improves, you know, what the league is trying to do and become bigger as a whole. And, you know, kind of put US and MLS on the map, I would say. And I think fans coming from other places have experienced that now and in the World Cup. So I think it's only going to help MLS, you know, grow as a league.
Cooper, really excited to get back to it with Nashville tomorrow night. This is going to be a very interesting next 20 games as Atlanta United tries to get into a playoff spot with some new faces helping along the way. Thank you for the time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back. Fun interview with Cooper Sanchez. Really enjoy talking to him and getting to see him come through the academy into the second team, now into the first team. After we had the chance to talk, it came out today that he has been called up to the U.S. U19 national team, part of the CONCACAF championship coming up. It's a big time for a lot of these young guys in the Atlanta United system. We're seeing it with the second team. We're seeing it with the academy teams doing so well in national championships. A lot of young talent coming through pretty much all at the same time.
Wow. I mean, it's amazing to see, especially how he keeps ascending, and you see the way that he sets the goals for himself, and he clearly knows what he wants out of this. But one of the interesting MLS notes that he gave me was that he was as intrigued and kind of impressed as the rest of us with how great the African nations were in this World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, not you. You've been tapped into the African nations, but the rest of us.
Yeah, it's been very cool to see, and it's something that I feel like there's still a lot of stereotypes about different parts of the world and how they play or how good their players are or how their teams, what they play like. And it's something that I hope this World Cup really was eye-opening for a lot of people about how, one, like, all Asian teams don't play the same. All South American teams don't play the same. All African teams don't play the same. There's lots of different characters within those teams, but the amount of talent all over the world right now, it's so cool to see. It was cool to see somebody like Vozinha, the Cabo Verdean goalkeeper that everybody has fallen in love with, on CBS This Morning.
Yeah,
he was,
man,
on the morning show. Dude's everywhere right
He's
now.
He's on the morning show. He getting phone calls from Nike and Inter Miami and everybody. Like, Vosinha's life has completely flipped upside down in the past 6 weeks.
We're going to see guys like that yeah, end up in MLS. I don't know if Vosinha will, because I think the Miami stuff might be shaky rumors, because they've got a goalkeeper, the Canadian international, but he's going to end up somewhere interesting. And I think you're going to see more guys from teams that we really liked and enjoyed in this World Cup end up here in Major League Soccer. On the other side of the break, we do have a 3-4-3, so we'll give that to you, but we're going to save a little bit of room because I've got a couple questions for Noel about the new MLS advertising campaign. We're always going to talk music here on an AST intersection crossover episode. So we're going to talk about that and more on the other side. More AST to come on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm in Nashville. Noel is not. We're making it all work. We have had AST every night since well before the tournament. And we have two more games left. Before we get into the 3-4-3, I want to give you what's on tap, and it's brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. I got two things for you on tap. Just as reminders, tomorrow night, back to Major League Soccer action. Atlanta United and Nashville SC has been one of the best teams in the first 14 games of the season. Kickoff will be closer to 8:25. Pre-game coverage will start at 7 o'clock here on the station. Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz from Midtown Atlanta, Mike Conti, and I will take over here in Nashville at Geodis Park at about 8:25. It's going to be a late kick. Thank you, Big Fox, which is where you can watch the game, and you can always sync it up with us on the Odyssey app. And then Sunday, World Cup final day, Abe Gordon will be live from 2 to 6 at Founders Green in South Downtown. It's just an awesome area if you have not had a chance to check it out, as it's continuing to grow. It's been one of the big success stories of the World Cup for me. And then once the game ends, 6 o'clock, it will be myself, it'll be Madison Cruz, it will be John Nelson. Who knows what else we can bring into our final AST of the World Cup, where we know who the champion is. It might be over by 6 o'clock. It should be. But there's a very good chance we see some extra time and maybe even penalties to decide this between Spain and Argentina. But let's get into the 3-4-3. It's going to be a little bit different one. It is brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three MLS players that did well at the World Cup. Steven Moreira is one. This is why I knew about Cabo Verde coming into the tournament. He was a big part of them shutting out Spain, competed very well against Argentina. Steven Moreira plays for the Columbus Crew and has been one of the players for the Crew over the years that, one, I hate to see when we're talking about Atlanta United, because he generally plays very well against Atlanta. But two, I learned about how the Cabo Verdean program has grown, and he's been such a huge part of it. Number two in the three MLS players who did well at World Cup. And look, we're leaving Lionel Messi out of this because y'all already know. We don't have to talk to you about how Lionel Messi has done well at the World Cup.
At all.
He could win the Golden Boot, and he could win the Golden Ball as the best player overall. You might not remember that Petr Musa from FC Dallas has done very well at this World Cup. He scored a goal for Croatia against England in Dallas, not at FC Dallas's usual venue at Jerry World, but Petr Musa had a big goal for Croatia in that one, where for 45 minutes they were even with the semifinalists before England took over in the second half. And the last one, look, some of y'all are going to be thinking that this is a little controversial, but Matt Freeze made a big mistake in his last game with the U.S. He did, and that's absolutely valid. But he had two clean sheets in the World Cup. He had eight total saves. He earned the starting goalkeeper spot. It was the right decision. He made one mistake, and that's the life of a goalkeeper. Sometimes one mistake is what you remember, but Matt Freeze earning that spot, I'm really curious to see now if he can hold on to it and he can elevate his game over this next cycle playing in MLS right now for New York City. All right, four headlines. Number one, World Cup final ticket prices. This has been crazy to me, Noel, because everybody was going nuts about ticket prices and how it's bad for the sport and bad for everything, and everything's bad. And then the NBA finals happen, and everybody's like, oh, this is so great. Ticket prices are so high because everybody's excited.
Right.
And my head's spinning, and I'm like throwing things at the wall. The World Cup final, Spain-Argentina, according to USA Today, could be the most expensive ticket in the history of the United States. I mean, that feels kind of crazy.
That's insane.
It could be the average purchase price, according to TickPick, $11,000.
Wow.
Average.
Wow. Yeah, that's, and to your point, average. So,
yeah.
Oh, man. That's,
In the door price, $7,400.
That's a cash car.
That's a car.
Oh, wow. That's insane. Well, I mean, these are how these things work when you're in a tournament, playoffs, whatever. The narrower it gets, the steeper the ticket price. And, if you're going to be in the door to see Lamine Yamal play against the old man that bathed him once upon a time, it's going to be a penny. It's going to be a pricey penny.
It's weird because these teams haven't really played much either. I think it's been like 60 years since they've played in a game that counted. They were supposed to play in the Finalissima, which is the European champions versus the South American champions, in March in Qatar, but during the Middle East conflicts, they couldn't play that game in Qatar, so they didn't get to play it. So now they're just playing it here. It's the first time you've had the reigning European champions play the reigning South American champions in a World Cup final. Craziness. Number two, Pelé, game-worn jersey from his first World Cup in 1958 when Pelé was 17 years old. That jersey at auction went for $4.9 million.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Yeah, that feels about right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I hear that, I'm like, okay. That sounds more normal to me than the ticket prices.
I agree with you, because I would put that up there, like trying to mine like a championship Jordan jersey or something like that. It's going to be in the millions.
Yeah, you're paying a pretty penny for that one. I want to get into the new MLS marketing campaign for number three, and people have had a lot of takes. I have had this conversation with you before about how I think at times soccer people in the United States are too negative about everything for effect. It feels very performative sometimes. And I kind of got that vibe about this marketing campaign. What did you think about it?
Well, Jason, let's give the people a listen to it. Let's take a moment to hear what MLS has in store for us, or at least what they are promoting. MLS is ready to take over, Jason. Soccer fever.
What was your reaction to that?
I thought it was fun. I thought it was cheeky. I thought it was cute. Of course, it leads with, I figured something was coming, right? Because I think like a week or two ago, we had got the shorter image of the ball being kicked into the stadium. And because I'm a sneakerhead, I 100% knew it was Messi's foot or boot that the soccer ball was under. And when we got the full ad, I was 100% correct. And it just goes from there. You know, you got the player from the LA team, and I think Miggy's in there somewhere, and you got Tim Reed from up there in Charlotte, and you got Kevin Durant in it for some reason, right? So they're trying to galvanize.
You've got an ownership stake in a team.
And you know, which team?
Ooh, he's with Philadelphia.
Okay, see, that means he's... I didn't know he was national soccer. I knew he was international soccer with PSG. Okay, so Kevin Durant is...
Yeah, he's got a stake in Philadelphia. James Harden, I believe, still has a stake in Houston.
Well, that makes sense to me. Okay, so they're in knee deep. But again, like, they're trying to bring us all in and show how many other people are into it and trying to say, hey, if y'all like soccer, if y'all got the soccer fever, it does not have to end. MLS is starting. Looks at watch. Actually, right now. So y'all can just hop right on over and continue the excitement and the fever. And I'm hoping that works for them. I did see a lot of contrarians about it. My only critique was that I felt like we should have had this ad out maybe 3 weeks ago. Maybe we could have seen it a little sooner than, like, this week. But other than that, I don't really have any complaints.
I think it's a little tricky with some of the sponsorship / advertising rules on World Cup TV.
I think that
was a little more complicated than maybe we know. I would have liked to have seen maybe more teases early and start building up to the full release the way that they did.
Right.
I think it's fun. I think it's geared more to the people who did find soccer during the World Cup. And I always remind my soccer people of this. Like, you got about a quarter of the country that consider themselves soccer fans. That's three quarters who don't. A lot of that three quarters have watched the World Cup and been involved in it and gotten excited about it. We need to welcome them in. And if they hear a song that they know and, you know, a line that they know, and they're like, oh, this is kind of fun. This is cool. Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm in. Let's go. Like, that's what we need. That's what we want. That's what I want to see. I think it works. And I'm very curious to see how the second half of the season goes. Fourth headline in the 3-4-3 when we dig into this. Christian Pulisic, his name has come up about Major League Soccer. New York City FC has said that they would like to sign Christian Pulisic. He's under contract to Milan. They would have to pay Milan to bring him in. Milan says no right now, and we'll see what happens with that. I think Christian's in an interesting spot. He's 28 years old in September, fourth season of a 5-year deal with Milan, so he's going to have to figure out what he does next going into the last year of that contract if he signs a new one with Milan. Or if he comes back to, or not back, he comes to Major League Soccer for the first time. He went to Europe when he was very young at Borussia Dortmund. Either one is fine. It's where he's going to play the most and where he's going to be the most comfortable. I think we get very hung up at times on where somebody's playing for the U.S. national team. I want you to play, and I want you to be enjoying your soccer wherever you're playing. So we'll see if Christian Pulisic can get that in his next deal. All right, we always end the 3-4-3 with three things that make us smile about the game. It's the reverse darts if you are Intersection fans. You mentioned it a little bit earlier. If you do not know the backstory behind the Lamine Yamal and Lionel Messi photograph that is out there, it's crazy that you have a picture publicly of Lamine Yamal as a baby being bathed by Lionel Messi. But it's real. It's not fake. It is absolutely real. And they're going to play each other for the first time on Sunday. Just craziest. Absolutely. The world's a crazy place sometimes.
Yeah, it's almost like he was adorned and now he's getting the torch passed. It's absolutely insane. The only thing I can even remotely compare it to was like when we found that random picture of Andrew Jones and Ozzy Albies when he was in elementary school. It's like, what?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like, huh? How is this even possible? That was the only thing that I was like, this has those type of vibes. So it is kind of cool to see, you know, Messi's, what, 41 now? So this could be
39.
Okay, he's 39. So this could be, you know, his last one. So this could be like, you know, him passing the torch off to somebody like Yamal Lamal. It's going to be really exciting to see, really fun to see. I'm hoping we see like top-notch Lamine Yamal, to be honest. He's been coming in out off of that hamstring injury, kind of working himself in, getting better and better. He did have a goal that was called back from offside. Let's even get one that counts.
He did sit out of training today, not training in full. And
oh, I don't like that, Jason.
I don't like that. I'm just saying, it's out there.
Oh, we'll by the way, his little brother's adorable.
Yes, I was going to say, that's my number two. Lamine Yamal's little brother absolutely makes me smile. That kid is hilarious. If he was anybody, he would be hilarious. But being Lamine Yamal's little brother in the stands going nuts all the time, cracks me up.
So that's how that went for me, Jason, because at first I just thought it was a little kid that loved Spain. And I was like, oh, man, that kid is going crazy. And then at the end of one match, I saw him waving at Lamine, and Lamine was waving at him. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. He got Lamine's attention. And then I was like, wait, that's his brother? I was like, oh, well, that takes the cuteness factor up to 10.
Yeah, we saw Lamine Yamal's little brother in the Spain parade. He was on somebody's shoulders, and it's like, ah, he kind of looks like Lamine Yamal. What's going on there? Oh, it really is his brother. Okay, that makes a whole lot of sense. Craziness. And we saw that here in Atlanta at the very beginning of the tournament. Give me something about this World Cup that's made you smile.
Ooh, me? Wow, what has made me smile? What has made me smile is that I have gotten into, like, the personality of the players, and I think that that's what's going to bring a lot of other people into soccer as well. Seeing, like, who these players are on and off the pitch. Seeing Erling go home with a drunk raccoon back to Norway. I mean, took a little piece of Americana with him. And also the British have discovered ranch packets. So the so TSA have been spared the big bottles of ranch. They will take home the packets. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun on the pitch, off the pitch. I've had a ball, and we've got one more before we close it. I can't believe it's only one more. I can't believe you're calling an MLS match tomorrow.
I know. Here in Nashville tomorrow night, 7 o'clock for the pregame, 8:25 for your kick. Atlanta United and Nashville SC, first of 20 more games to finish out this MLS season. Atlanta needs to get on a run to get into the postseason. And then Sunday, South Downtown is the spot to hang out with 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon from 2 to 6. The Atlanta Soccer Tonight crew, the All Star crew, we will be live from the Brew House in South Downtown, starting at 6 o'clock, and explain everything that happens in this World Cup final. Y'all have a good rest of the night. Adios, everybody.
See you guys.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.